And hit record.
All right, here we go. This is the theme for this week's show. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
I'm not gonna make it here for you. Happy birthday to you, Jack.
First man I've known that's lived through three centuries. It's crazy.
Yeah. Pretty close. Pretty damn close. Well, thanks everyone. Thanks for sharing the chat. I was looking for Chris's
Dick? I know. You can't find it either.
Well, yeah.
I got him covered. I wrote on your Facebook, I said, happy birthday, Jack, from Nick and Chris.
Here's the funny thing. I'm on day two of no Facebook.
Nice.
I still have an account. However, it is removed from my phone. And I've only used it once in the last 2 days. Now it's to go and get the link from Facebook Messenger to come into the StreamYard.
Nice.
Yeah. Happy birthday, bud. See, this is a genuine happy birthday. This isn't some bullshit.
If I don't get on Facebook, it doesn't count.
See, I didn't know it was your birthday until literally 7 seconds ago. And that's just me being genuine and honest. But this is a true happy birthday wish.
But it's not my birthday.
It was yesterday. Oh, well, fuck.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
It's weird because your birthday is a day after my ex-girlfriend. We dated through high school, so
I planned it that way.
And then my wife is a day before Jay's.
Oh, really?
So it's like a weird, like, every now and then.
It's like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Or birthdays.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, though,
August is busy for us, as you have my youngest daughter is the third, my aunt's the fifth, my granddaughter's the ninth, I'm the 11th, and my dad was the 30th, and my oldest daughter was the 30th of August.
It is
the 30th of August. My dad was the 30th of August.
We're all Capricorns. My uncle was the 25th of December, my mom's the 30th of December, my sister's the 1st, my grandfather's the 2nd, I'm the 4th. My other two grandmothers are January 20th and 21st. Like, we're all roughly right there, you know.
Because I was hoping my daughter would be able to hold off until the 11th, but no.
Oh.
Have it on the 9th. I mean, she had some health issues, too.
You don't want to share your birthday. What the hell?
I don't care. So I'd rather.
It's no longer your day, then.
I want to go on behalf of everyone. Yeah, fucking thanks for the reverse birthday present in your Jack as... What's her name from Titanic? Rose. Yeah. Jack, that was disturbing on a fucking brand new level.
Well, I got to give credit to my oldest daughter. She has an app. Yeah.
That one, the creepy one's when they're dancing. And then,
yeah, dude, she's like,
yeah, that one's creepy as shit. The one, yeah, right there.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Could you please take that down?
That one's the creepy one.
I can't even look at the screen right now.
I do have more. I have Captain Jack Sparrow. I have the Hulk Hogan.
Oh,
and I have Shakira.
No, you don't. Stop.
Which I might post Shakira tomorrow. So
no, don't fucking ruin it.
I just want to name with the arm laid over you.
Well, I saw the steamy hand go up, so I assumed that was Jack's. I am really freaking Chris out because for those that are just listening and not joining us live, I have put in my background the images of Jack as Rose from the Titanic. This is a true Jack and Jack moment.
I could almost see it now.
There was a lot of
Jack and off going there. So
thank you for finishing the joke I was going.
I'm sorry.
No, it's perfect. It was money on the table. Okay, in order to have Chris join us once again, I will change it back to my space back.
I don't believe you.
Okay, my wife said, you make an ugly female. I go, okay.
Matt Triest in the comments says this is actually the trailer for Pleasure Rants. Oh, I forgot. I can do this.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Here we go.
Yeah, there we go.
I won't try to do it so much this time.
Yeah, because you could wear yourself out.
That's true.
And then so I didn't know what I was watching. And then is that exact moment where they're dancing. And I was like,
oh, God, stop. It was so, and she did it for, I like, there's some other ones too, but yeah, I definitely like this one was the best. So,
that was the one thing on Facebook that I saw when I went to go look for the link for this video.
It burned your eyes out. You're like,
just reaffirmed my choices to not be on Facebook.
I do like some of the comments. I can never watch that movie again.
Oh yeah, I don't know who that is, but
I bet it's been 20 years since I've watched that movie.
Yeah.
What's funny is like I actually loved it. I thought it was hilarious. It was like the best thing I'd seen all week.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I mean, it's disturbing as hell, but like that's what.
I mean, I'm not gonna have sex with Rose. But,
you know, you know, as an artist, Matt, you now want to draw me naked, right?
Throwback jokes. I love them.
I'm just going
to. Oh, God.
Matt just said, that's enough.
Matt's like, I'm done with this. I'm not even going to bother.
Either that or he's drawing you right now.
Yeah, we just have to find a car with a big back seat. So
mm-hmm. Actually, no, that was in the cabin when you drew her.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you're talking about the steamy scene in the back of a Model T or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, not to plug my YouTube channel, but I did last week make a case for Rose being the most selfish person in the history of the world.
She is.
I think I talked about it last week, and I think it's pretty spot on.
Now imagine if you know the Titanic doesn't sink though, and you own that car, and you know you're getting it off the boat. And you know, you maybe you've never driven it before, you know, and you're all happy because you got your import. You're going into New York City, and then like your girlfriend or your wife goes, "It smells like sex in here. What the hell?"
Well, it's like Costanza in Seinfeld, where they were using his car for prostitution.
Oh, right. Because
He found a condom in there. So it's like,
I was going along with your same train of. Train of thinking, train of thought.
Train of thought.
Thank you. Except I was more in line with just thinking that there would be some kind of stain on the backseat.
That too, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. You know,
this stuff won't come out. My golly.
These are brand new vinyl seats. What the hell?
They were.
Corinthian leather.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. That's another selfish act by Rose.
Rose, yeah.
Not her car.
It's not her car. What the hell?
Yeah, and you know, 100 years later, we got COVID because of these two assholes.
Exactly. That's probably where it came from. Excuse me why I cough. Because, you know, the people on the Titanic, they weren't staying 6 feet apart when that ship was going down.
No.
They're like right on top of each other. Mm-hmm. 6 feet apart! 6 feet apart!
There'd be only two boats.
And the guy with the gun, back up! Back up!
When was the last time you watched Titanic?
It's been probably about 10 years, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, I wasn't that big of a fan of it. I mean, it's okay. I think a lot of Titanic and Avatar were kind of overrated James Cameron films. You know, I like T2. I even liked The Abyss, you know.
Oh, yeah.
First two acts of The Abyss are great. Third's kind of okay, but like it's, I mean, for its day, it was way ahead of its time.
Oh, yeah. You know? And
I'm going to disagree with you on Avatar. I thought Avatar was
pretty great. Wait, you've seen it?
Avatar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. I mean, I guess because...
what is that? Is it like a...
I didn't.
Well, it's a movie, and what are the odds of Chris seeing a movie?
Yeah, I felt the hype around.
I've seen a shit ton of movies, just not the ones that were around when you were a kid, because I like to watch movies that are in color.
Josh Boot
is in color. It's also right there.
Hey, The Wizard of Oz gives you both.
That's right.
Black and white. And
I've seen The Wizard of Oz. Yes,
it's actually sepia, so it's not. It's not true black and white. Sorry, I don't mean to be an asshole here, Jack. You can make a whole video about it. Is that a baseball bat or your finger? Or are you just happy to see me?
That is Fernando Tatis Jr., the best young player in the game today.
Look at all those fans in the stands.
Well, it's not obviously a Charger game.
Did you see that picture of somebody? I forgot what game it was, but they had a still shot of an at-bat. and then you see all the cardboard cutouts.
Oh, yeah.
And then one of them is Bernie.
I love that. I love that. Yeah.
It was the Royals. I think it's at Royal Stadium because it was.
That's awesome. Flame. Absolutely fantastic.
You take that back on Avatar.
Yeah, back to that. So Avatar. I mean,
it's entertaining.
It's good. I wouldn't say great.
It's just the fact that, like, to me, I think the hype around it was because it was the first that really had that 3D technology breakthrough that made people go see it.
Oh man!
But the story has been told so many times. Is it, you know, it was Dance of the Wolves. It was Ferngully. It was so many. Yeah, sure. And so to me, it was kind of like, I've seen this. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, it's like just a fish out of water story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's like a tale as old as time. You know, a song as old as, I don't know, never mind. I don't know the fucking
But, word. I mean, I got to say, though, and this is, it's top of mind, because I was listening, again, I know I mentioned last week, I've been on a tear listening to the Joe Rogan Experience, and he had Rob Lowe on one of his episodes, and they were talking about James Cameron and all of it, and how, like, this, the upcoming movies have a $1 billion budget. For the upcoming Avatar movies, already earmarked
like for $1 billion.
For each film.
For two or three.
Is Rob Lowe in it?
No, they were just discussing it.
Oh, okay.
And I thought
they're going to redo Youngblood.
What?
I thought they were going to remake Youngblood or something like that. James.
Oh, no. So they had this huge discussion about Avatar, and like it kind of made me think a little bit more about it, and like how Cameron was kind of like on point with what, you know, the future of civilization's probably going to look like, you know, as far as transferring your consciousness into something else, right? So that was it's a very cool story, and they touched about like how there was like this like a phenomenon of people after they went and saw the movie. Had Avatar like depression. Have you heard about this?
No.
Oh, people were so emotionally. So people were so emotionally connected to the idea of this. What was the planet that they were on? I forgot what it was called.
But it was called Avatar. No, it wasn't.
Definitely wasn't.
I only saw it once.
But there, people had such an emotional connection to like the whole, you know, existence, and that when it was over, they got depressed, which I thought was
no one in this country has problems.
Yeah, right. But
all the things you'd be depressed about.
I'm not one of them. But
I'm not saying you are. But Matt's being very silent. Maybe it's Matt.
But the point that I'm trying to make is I think that movie really connected on a number of levels for a lot of people. I thought it was really well made. I enjoyed the shit out of that movie. And granted, yeah, it was probably one of like the first movies that I saw in IMAX 3D. So like the actual physical experience of seeing that movie. To Nick, to your point. In that 3D technology was fucking breathtaking, you know, and seeing that was just like it was an experience all of itself.
To Chris's
point, I agree with you. I also saw it for the first time IMAX 3D experience. Mm-hmm. I happened to have a brownie right before I went in.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my god! Like,
I might have to do that for the next.
The part where they're running and they're like rocks
that's
floating
the whole in movie.
They're rocks floating in space, or not space, but the sky. Like there were rocks like floating in the sky. I don't know that it just was trippy.
That part got to me.
Talk about withdrawal.
I couldn't cope.
I couldn't get back to that point where I was like, oh, take me back to the blue tails.
I couldn't watch any athletic event because people were running. I was like, oh, God.
Is this a Tom Cruise movie or am I watching the Olympics?
Yeah. It's like he's describing Lord of the Rings. Like so, the walking scene. doing it for three films there, Matt.
Yeah,
they have a long way to go.
I will tell you this: of all of these huge, huge blockbuster movies, like
Chariots of Fire,
Avatar probably gets the most shit, right? So it probably gets dumped on more than any movie ever. Probably, I would assume. The amount of money that movie made was
I mean, crazy.
He surpassed his last record, which was Titanic, and the amount of money they're putting into these sequels, they're gonna make it back 10 fold. It's going to be
a huge. I didn't even know they were making. I thought they were one and done. I mean, I was fine.
Yeah, well, announced he's going to make sequels like basically as soon as it was over. But it's just been 12 years. How long has it been? Been a while.
George Lucas made Star Wars faster. You know, sequels.
I believe there was something. There was some type of production that was going to start. So Avatar 2 is going to be in 2021. I think there was some production that was going to start this year, but got delayed because of COVID.
Is it Avatar 2, the year of the mask? Is that what it is? They all have to wear a mask or something.
Oh, yeah. No? Well, I mean, I think what will be interesting is I remember James Cameron giving an interview how like this one, the first one, is on the surface of that planet. It's like it's not going to be a traditional sequel of like the same. It might have a few same characters, but like it'd be like going to Earth. Like, oh, like now we're going to do underwater, and now we're going to do like all these different environments within the planet instead of trying to just make a continuation of the same story.
It's been so long. How many of those actors are still alive?
All of them.
This actually is saying Avatar 2 will hit theaters in December of 2022.
I mean, if Michael Biehn is not in at least one of these, I'm going to be a little mad because he's in every James Cameron film. Except Titanic.
Oh.
You know who he is. He's in Aliens and okay.
I know the name, but I can't picture his face.
He's the good guy in Terminator, and he's Hicks and Alien, and he's Johnny Ringo in Tombstone.
Johnny Ringo, okay, that's why I know
that. Yeah, because that he was originally supposed to be the Stephen Lang character in Avatar, the bad guy.
Oh, that makes sense.
But. James Cameron told him he wasn't going to put him in it because he didn't want Sigourney Weaver and him in the same picture because they'd already done it with Aliens. And so they were like, he's like, maybe I'll put you in one of the sequels instead.
He was also in the TV show Magnificent Seven that ran for 2 years.
Didn't know that.
There you go.
That's why we come onto this show. It's not for the fans. It's not for the people in the chat. Sorry, but it's just so that we can make weird.
I know we have a versus for this week already, but I was thinking when we went on Rob Lowe, we should go best Rob Lowe movie.
Best Rob Lowe movie.
Wow.
It could be a versus down the road.
That's a great one.
I'm writing that down.
Because I'm thinking I go, wow, that's just because a lot more. Before you're, I mean, Chris probably hasn't seen
that. That's what I say. You have to remember that a lot of our listeners are on the younger side. They might not even know who Rob Lowe is.
Oh, come on.
They do. Come on. They watch Parks and Rec. Have you seen Parks and Rec?
I've seen a couple episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
He looks younger than most of the younger listeners out there.
That's true.
Am I right?
He looks younger than me.
It's because he's on Atkins.
Oh, okay.
He's just one of those people that don't age. I hear he's kind of like a jerk though in real life. Rumor is that he
siphons Steve Martin's blood. You know, there's a little bit of a life out of him. That's why Steve Martin's always looked old. Is so Rob Lowe can look young all the time.
He was also in Wayne's World. So
he was. That's what that was going to be my pick for best Rob Lowe.
Oh,
film.
Spoilers for the Tommy versus. Boy.
And Tommy Boy, that's right.
Oh, Tommy Boy.
That one always throws me off that he's in Tommy Boy because he's.
Dude, he got to hook up with Bo Derek. He wins.
Yeah. No,
that was his mom.
Well, allegedly.
No, it was supposed to be his wife. Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. No, it was at first it was his mom. That's what we were led to believe.
Yeah.
It was
that was a big twist in Tommy Boy.
I remember when Tommy Boy came out, why am I forgetting her name? He just said Bo Derek was 40 years old. And I remember them making such a big deal. Like, she's 40 and still looks that good. And I'm just like,
So here again, I'm ripping off another podcast. I apologize. But he told a really cool story about Bo Derek. Interesting. I don't say cool, but interesting story about Bo Derek. So that was like one of her first, I think she was 50 in the movie.
50.
That
yeah. Sorry. 50. Not 40.
Return to film. I think that was like the first movie she had done in a long time. She apparently has like a super possessive and controlling husband. I don't know his story. I don't know his name. Supposedly she showed up on set on the first day with like a shaved head or like a really cropped up haircut, like a very short, like short haircut, and everyone's just like, what the fuck, the production.
Where are the beads?
The production crew's got like the braids, the beads in their mind, and she rolls up and she's got like a buzz cut, right? Apparently the story goes that the controlling husband of Bo Derek was so jealous about her going back into a movie set that he opted to, he required that she actually cut her hair super short to be on set for the movie. And
this
that
was for, this is for Tan or for Tommy Boy? Boy.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I say recent, but I mean, that's 20 years ago, but.
Derek was his name, the photographer.
He was John, famous, John Derek.
John Derek. Yeah. He was a famous photographer.
Now John Derek was originally, well, he was married to Linda Evans, Dynasty, The Big Valley. If you look at the younger pictures of Linda Evans, it's like, but he dumped Linda Evans for Bo Derek. But Bo Derek and Linda Evans became friends. Because, but because he was like 20 years older than Bo Derek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he met Bo Derek when she was like 16 or something like that.
Oh, it's got an Elvis thing going.
Yeah, and he decided to dump Linda Evans, which if you look at Linda Evans back then, it's like, wow, you're dumping Linda. But then you're getting Bo Derek, so I guess it's just like, it's almost like it was like a younger version of Linda Evans.
Did you do your podcast with Ralph yet?
I did do my podcast with Ralph.
I mean, Jay's not here to whine about it, but I was curious what Ralph thought about the soundtrack. To Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid, everyone.
Yeah. Do I spoil everybody this that wants to listen to it? He didn't hate it like Jay did.
Okay.
And he kind of understood it once I kind of explained it, like you explained it, and you know how we've then. But I'm two for two and telling Ralph to watch a movie and he likes it. So
nice. Well, you can't. I mean, everybody has to like Butch Cassidy since
I
was a kid.
I don't. He goes, because he said, he goes, the pace is amazing. I go, yeah, it never stops. It hits the ground running and never fucking stops. It's a great movie. So anyway, we talked. Well, I think we're only supposed to talk for like a half hour. We talked for like 45 minutes or something.
Who are those guys? who are those guys?
They're damn good.
Yeah.
How long before they get here?
No, I mean that's been referenced. You know, even in like Star Wars.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, I think like some of the Clone Wars episodes or something.
Oh yeah, like even in Mallrats, like the mall cop wears a white straw. Grimmer for that reason, because he's LaFleur's, and that's actually his name. Instead of being LaFleur's like the flower in the movie, it's LaFleur's like the floor. You know, like, but that's it's math. Chris, you're muted.
But even
I never knew that connection, because I've never seen the movie.
Yeah,
so.
that's what he is. He's supposed to be like the cop, because the cop, the famous cop that's after Butch Cassidy's kid is LaFleur's in the movie. So that's why in Mallrats the cop is
Lieutenant LaFleur's.
Can we once a month start doing movies that Chris hasn't seen, and we play the movie and we like talk about it as it's going along?
I've already said I would do that.
Because right now
that was literally my idea.
I know it's your idea, but I'm like, you haven't seen Butch Cassidy's Sundance Kid. I'm like, come on.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you, Jack, that if you pulled all of our listeners, I would say that it's probably a 30-40% of our total listenership has seen Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid.
Well, the ones with taste have.
That's not a popular movie of people under the age of 40.
I'm a firm believer there's movies that people should have to go – that people should see.
You fit me in that
window. You should want to go see The Godfather 1 and 2. You should want to see The Godfather 1 and 2. You should
want I've seen those.
Yeah.
They're as about as long as Das Boot.
You should also see Galaxy Quest. Perfect movie.
You know what? I've seen parts of that's what with Tim. That's him. Tim.
Yeah.
Tim
Allen.
Everyone, if you're a Star Wars, Star Trek, sci-fi fan, you need to watch Galaxy Quest. It's one of the best movies ever made, which is one of the weirdest things to say, but it is.
It has an amazing cast.
Yeah, amazing cast.
Alan Rickman.
Sigourney Weaver. Alan Rickman.
The late Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
The late and great.
But that's what makes it good, is because it's so believable, because it is an homage to sci-fi and fans, but it's also a believable Star Trek film, as well as like you see all these different actors and their different perspectives, because like Sigourney Weaver's playing like that typical 70s, 80s bimbo that was in a series, you know, but she's not. She's extremely smart when she's not in that character. And then you have Tim Allen, who's the typical Kirk character, who's really arrogant, you know, but you know, just always kind of stayed on his looks. And then you have Alan Rickman's character, who's supposed to be this famous British actor, like I was King Lear, but yet he's only known for playing this really stupid alien, you know, and like it's so good. And then you have like things like Shit, what's his name? I love him. He's a great actor.
The ball-headed guy.
No, the guy. The guy that plays Guy. And that's all you – like, he's in Matchstick Men. He was in Moon. It'll hit me here in a second. But anyway, he's an extra on the show in the original series in one episode. And his character's name was only Guy because he died in the episode. And it's things like that that are funny because they're like – because he's like – you're going to be fine. He's like, yeah, what's my character's last name? And they're like, I don't know. He's like, exactly, because I die in the episode. Like, he thinks it's going to happen in real life, and it's just a good movie. Because basically they're making fun of the red shirts in that situation. Like,
I mean, it's no Butch Cassidy.
Sam Rockwell.
Oh, yeah, Rockwell. Sam Rockwell. When you said Moon, I was like, who else is in the movie Moon?
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, I love Sam Rockwell. Yeah, thanks, Matt.
Yep, and directed by David Bowie's son.
Yeah, Moon is, really? Yes.
Moon is. Yeah. Oh, really? Was it?
Yep. Yeah.
I did not know that.
He still keeps his real last name, though, which is Jones. But,
he does. Mm-hmm. After I saw Moon, and that was like kind of, that came out like kind of during the prequel era of Star Wars, I remember like thinking like, oh, I wish they'd go back to something like this, you know, like just a little bit more, you know, real effects, you know.
I wish they'd remake Dune. That's funny.
They are.
Yeah.
They are, and it's going to be amazing.
It is going to be good.
It's got an amazing cast.
Everything I'm hearing about, it's all good.
Yeah. You have heard nothing about this, Jack. This is the first you're hearing.
When people talk about it, I just kind of go to sleep. Kind of like when I saw the movie.
I just like doing this. This is so much fun. I get so much joy out of this. So,
all right. What other have you seen? Cool Hand Luke.
That's someone you need to see too,
Chris.
What's his name? Redford?
Paul Newman.
Right. I always get those two.
What's his name?
I've never sat down and watched it, but I think I've seen bits and pieces.
If you've listened to Use Your Illusion 1,
2.
Two, I'm sorry.
First track.
The series.
Civil War.
God, I love that.
What we have here is
but that comes from that movie.
He's not British.
Mm. Yeah.
What we got here is failure to communicate.
That was probably my favorite of the Guns N' Roses stuff that came out.
So, I prefer Use Illusion 2 over Use Illusion 1.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think as an overall record, it's more accessible.
Yeah. I mean, the Spaghetti Incident.
That's just covers, and it's it's the one record that I don't even own. It's like,
right. Yeah. Forget about it. Appetite for Destruction.
Forget about it. You're back to The Godfather.
All right, so let's put together the list of movies, right? So, okay, so...
Dude, there's so many for you.
Sundance Kid.
Yeah. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Das Boot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's keep going here. What are some other movies that you think that I might not have seen?
Cool Hand Luke, obviously.
Cool Hand Luke.
Have you seen... Since we're on Paul Newman, did you see... The Natural.
Have you seen The Natural?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
When I was a kid, playing Little League, I would sit in the dugout when my friends were up at bat. I would hold my hands and squeeze them really tight because a kid did that in the movie. And that was like how he wished a hit or wished a home run. And I would sit there and like...
I was a little worried because I thought you were going to say you went into some strange woman's hotel room and got shot. So no. A little worried when you were talking about it. I was a little afraid for you there, but good.
I do this. I put my hands together and like do this every time. I'm like, oh, we need a commercial break.
I do this when I'm going to the bathroom sometimes. Come on!
Please, come just on!
Dr. Strangelove.
No, I've not seen it. I've seen parts of it. I've not seen it in its entirety.
No, but seriously, though. Commercial break.
I thought
you were. Are you constipated?
That was so subtle. I didn't even get it.
You
weren't even listening. I was like, oh, okay, sorry.
Sherry says, Shawshank. Oh. I have absolutely seen Shawshank. Stand by Me 100%. One of my favorite movies.
Let's start the game.
Which one's The Game?
The Game is good. That's the one with Michael Douglas. Came out in around 97.
I feel like I've seen it. What's the plot?
It's his birthday. Sean Penn is his brother, and he wants to get him something really good for his birthday.
They say it's his birthday.
And so basically, from that point on,
it's Jack's birthday too. Yeah.
From that point on, a lot of weird shit happens to Michael Douglas, and it just takes you on this long. It's good. It's definitely worth a watch. Yeah.
I remember it, but
all right. Yeah. I'm gonna go old school. And really old school.
Okay.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Casablanca.
Well, yeah, yes.
I've not seen it.
You have to see Casablanca at some point.
You must remember this.
There's two Humphrey Bogart movies if you go your whole life
and I remember it.
You must see Casablanca and The Maltese Falcon.
I've seen parts of The Maltese Falcon.
The Maltese Falcon is something that I feel has grown. Like if you watch it on repeat viewing, it actually like really grows and builds.
Okay.
It's something that I think is really funny
because I'm in my circle of friends, and we talk about movies and stuff like in real life. And if I would bring my wife into the conversation, like I'm the guy who's seen all the movies, and my friends have not seen the movies. So this is kind of like this weird alternate reality for me where I'm the guy, right? And that I'm embracing it. It's cool. So.
Randy brought up Bonnie and Clyde. Have you seen the original Bonnie and Clyde?
No.
God, I
haven't. Have you seen Heaven Can Wait?
Yes, with what's his name?
Mama drawing a blank on his name.
Motherfucker that was so old, in everything we ever saw him in.
He's married to Annette Bening, who was in who went to the same high school I did.
Tim Robbins. Year.
No, he's married to.
That's true. I'm thinking.
Why are we drawing a blank on his goddamn name?
Warren Beatty.
Yeah. Yes.
Funny thing is, that's not the movie I was thinking of, but I also have seen Heaven Can Wait.
There's a mistake in Heaven Can Wait when he gets knocked out. He's supposed to sit out of play, and he doesn't sit out.
I haven't seen Heaven Can Wait. These are like back to like
messed up Pendleton. Messed up
movie. The rental station was the place I went to like pre Blockbuster. It was like these are the movies I remember seeing, like the movie cases. I remember my dad renting these movies and sitting and watching with him.
The Sting, the first one, not the second one.
No,
Newman and Redford's last movie.
If he's never seen Butch Cassidy, he's not going to watch The Sting.
Well, I get it. I was just throwing it out there. Ishtar.
Nobody should see Ishtar.
I've seen it.
Shazam. Or, I mean,
I think it was a double feature. Is Ishtar and Dune?
the bigger question at hand here is what Tom Hanks movies have you seen?
Don't get to this quite yet.
Oh! This is a podcast divided here.
I like what Randy says. Before live podcasting, we would be just shouting out these names while listening.
Yeah, that is very true, Randy. And I've been on the other side, Randy, where I've been a listener to Jay and Jack, and I've been like, what the. Come on!
Why don't you know this?
Go ahead.
The other Humphrey Bogart movie, which doesn't get a lot of credit, but I like because I like war pictures. It was the one he put out during 1942, during the middle of World War II, and it's called Sahara.
Oh yeah, it's Sahara.
I like Sahara. A lot of people don't watch that one. Same as with Stalag 17, which is really good too.
Was that the 2005 Sahara a remake?
No. They actually did remake it with James Belushi in like 91 or 92, and it's good too. It's in color, whereas in the other ones in black and white. But basically, they're in North Africa during World War II, and they have one tank, and they're looking for water, and they find a well, and it's only like a rough tag of like random people, like one's a French soldier, it's a couple of Americans, and the thing is that the German army is also trying to find water, and they surround them. And they realize they had to hold the well in order for the Allies to get to them so they can beat the Germans. And it's a really good war picture.
I haven't seen that in forever. But isn't he also in the Kane Mutiny?
Kane Mutiny is a really good one. The African Queen is amazing. Like as far as like late Bogart, the African Queen, and I would say a hidden gem amongst the Humphrey Bogart movies is The Desperate Hours, which they did do a remake like in the 90s, which was shit. But The Desperate Hours is really good because it's a story about three criminals. They're on the run. I don't know if they escape prison. I can't remember. But they take over a 1950s house hostage, and they hold the family hostage. And the whole thing is basically takes place in the house. It's very Alfred Hitchcocky in the fact that you have these three goons kind of holding them.
One thing about what Humphrey Bogart, what makes him a great actor is because he's a leading man. You look at him, you don't think leading man when you look at him.
No.
Right?
True.
He's not like it's not like what we just said about Rob Lowe. It's like, He's going with Lauren Bacall and all these. Really, him?
Well, Lauren Bacall, of course, was his fourth wife. You know,
but she was very attractive. And I look at him and I go, okay. But back then. It was very important to have looks as a leading. You know, your Gary Coopers, your Cary Grants.
He also knew how to whistle.
A lot of people don't know. That's how
he got Lauren Bacall.
Yeah, Rock Hudson was up for that part, but he couldn't whistle.
Have you seen Rio Bravo, Chris?
Rio Bravo.
1958.
Not the wrestler?
No, Rio Bravo, 1958. It's John Wayne, no. Dean Martin.
No.
It's a Western that I have to watch every time I go home because my dad watches that movie all the time. But I love Rio Bravo. It's a great Western.
I did see the Maltese Canary, which was a Sylvester and Tweety miniseries.
Nice.
Which was awesome.
Did you see The Magnificent Seven?
The original one, not the remake.
No. Original.
Okay.
All right.
Yul Brynner.
So you guys are all kind of mentioning movies from a very specific genre.
Well, it's because I'm not mentioning anything modern.
I know the genre I'm mentioning, like The Magnificent Seven, like a lot of these John Wayne movies. All these movies, like these are kind of like of the Western, you know, genre. I mentioned this before.
Ralph had not watched a lot of that.
I did not grow up watching Westerns at all. Like, it wasn't part of my childhood at all.
You've seen The Good, the Bad, the Ugly?
So, like, I have memories of all of these movies, but I don't recall it, like, physically sitting down and watching one of these specifically.
Oh, sure. Like, I mean, I'm the same way with The Sons of Katie Elder. I remember watching it as a kid, and it was one of those Westerns that my dad put on, and like, at some point being sucked into it and being like, wow, this is actually pretty good. What is this movie, Dad? So I couldn't tell you the plot of it, but I remember liking it as a kid.
Right.
So
because Ralph did say that. He's like you, Chris. He said he was like, Westerns were not a big part of my life.
No.
Where, you know, of course, I'm being old, as you mentioned earlier.
As of yesterday.
Westerns were big. You know, they were just huge. It's John, the UPS guy, mentions 12 Angry Men. My oldest daughter goes the other day, did you guys see that movie where the juror is really, he won't give in? And I go, 12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men, yeah.
She goes, no, it's called something. I go, it's 12 Angry Men. I go, had Henry Fonda in it? She goes, no. Finally, she looked up. She goes, what is 12 Angry Men?
No, Jury Duty with Pauly Shore.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen that.
If you've seen Jury Duty with Pauly Shore, you've seen 12 Angry Men.
They also did a really great version of it on Happy Days. So
with the Fonz, it turns out the Fonz was right,
and it was a little racy as far as the fact that they were going to convict a black guy.
Yeah,
and the Fonz is the only one.
Because he had a special motorcycle.
Exactly. A European.
You can only get throttle with one hand, and he's totally filled the purse with the other hand.
Oh, another good. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yeah, I've seen that. So speaking of Pauly Shore, I saw on Reddit the other day that someone posted that there's a lot of money to be made with a biopic of Richard Simmons, and it should be played by Pauly Shore because they do fucking look exactly.
especially now, as Pauly's getting older. Yeah.
Yep.
That's so true. He's got the same energy.
Hold on. Sherry in the chat just said, Jack, you need to see the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
I've seen one and a half of them.
Dude. No.
So, there's a lot of movies I haven't seen, but the fact that you haven't seen those movies is
I've seen the first one. I was midway through the second one, fell asleep, to be fair. The third one, I said, fuck it, I'm not wasting my time.
That surprises me. That surprises me.
Because because I'm watching, Jay said I had to watch the movie. So I watched the movie. We get to the ending. They're on the top of the mountain or something like that. And then they go, wait, that's it? He goes, well, there's two more. I go, so they made me go watch a movie knowing there wasn't an ending to the movie.
I'm going to throw out a weird one here.
That's great.
Oh, good.
That was my, you know, my...
Jack, okay, the fact that you are such a Lost fan and you're kind of like a grandfather in the podcasting, you know, era of Lost.
Why does it have to be grandfather?
Because we're that old. And you are a grandfather. But specifically,
oh God, am I?
You can't get your geek card taken away from you for not seeing Lord of the Rings. But man, you balance it out only with your.
Saying I haven't seen it. I've seen the first one. I saw the second one midway through.
No. That doesn't count. One and a half.
50% of a trilogy does not count as 100% of watching. Like,
well, it's
you can't say you have.
Well, it's like saying that you watched Star Wars and then you got to the Dagobah scene in Empire Strikes Back and you fell asleep and you didn't watch anything else after that.
Well, you know what? The movie was so good I didn't fall asleep.
I'm saying.
Take that, Lord of the Rings.
Have you seen, Chris, Cannonball Run?
Yes. Absolutely. Dom DeLuise, I love that, man.
have you seen the bloopers on that?
Yeah. That's the end credits, yeah. Yeah.
Because if you watch it, because you can go on YouTube, Burt Reynolds literally slaps Dom DeLuise.
Oh, yeah.
He keeps laughing.
Just constantly.
Just laughing.
Here's where my movie watching really started. Obviously, I was born in 1980. I grew up in the 80s. And that was the dawn of the VHS, right? Which you could have all these movies be rented. You could rent movies whenever you want. You could record them off of TV if you're savvy enough to do so. And it was the mid to late 70s movies, the 80s movies. All of those movies are the movies that I grew up watching. So I've seen like a ton of like the late 70s.
So you've seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Of course.
Because it has Phoebe Cates scene.
Phoebe Cates, are you shitting? And then you see her in Gremlins, and I don't know which one's first, but I think Fast Times is.
Fast Times is. That was her first big break.
Yeah, Gremlins was 84.
Yeah, so it's you know, as a kid, you're watching both those movies back to back, and like, well, is it two different people? What's this about? Like, how?
Jay asked one time, was she like the it? I go, yeah, she was the it girl back then.
Yeah, definitely.
She literally. I'm sure everyone had a crush on Phoebe Cates back then.
Yeah,
it's funny how they changed so quickly back then too. Because you know, for a few years it's Farrah Fawcett, then the Phoebe Cates, and then you know, like probably by the late '80s, Phoebe Cates is like a.
She was 25 by then, so it's like,
Well,
Farrah Fawcett changed because she left Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Two things. Cannonball Run, is that the movie though that started? I feel like it is. I'm just kind of like spitballing here, but did it start the bloopers in the credits kind of thing? Because
I would say probably.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of other movies before that where they were like, "This shit is so funny, we have to put it in here." And now it's the thing.
Bloopers are just as good as the movie. I mean, because you know, it's like. Now I'm gonna take these rosary bleeds and shove them up.
More of a plot. These rosary bleeds.
These rosary bleeds. Even in the second one, when they you know because Frank Sinatra's in the second one, you know, and the bloopers at the end, he's like, "Sir, we're cannonballers," you know, and Frank Sinatra's like, "Look, guys, I've been lonely from time to time." He's like, you know, like, "Oh, shit."
And I think in addition to that too, like I think not only did I see a lot of these movies as a kid on VHS, but it was also like you would watch the same movies over and over because you had them, and that was kind of like our first, you know, venture into being able to watch things on demand, if you will, right?
Yeah.
You had these things on demand, but you had a very small selection of what you had on demand. So the amount of times I've seen Cannonball Run, the amount of times I've seen Ski Patrol, right?
Yeah. With my good friend Patrick Lapiteau.
Yeah, like the amount of times I've seen that movie is ridiculous. And like in the movie Rad, with you know Crew Jones and Helltrack and Lori Loughlin. That's where I first fell in love with Lori Loughlin. Was on the movie Rad. I've seen the movie Rad probably over 100 times in my
Lori Loughlin impression.
What's that?
That's my Lori Loughlin impression.
Oh yeah, that's behind the back, Jack. I'm not in the front. You should know better from watching.
But you get bad boy.
But these are the movies like I grew up with, right? And I've seen them thousands of times.
You know,
Blazing Saddles, and Sherry said you got to see them all, Jack, and then you can give other people crap again. First, I'm like the oldest person on this show and been here for the longest. I can do whatever I want. And it's my birthday week. It's my birthday week.
Terrible take.
No, Rat Race. Rat Race. No, Rat Race is you go see the the main one, the original one, which was
it's a mad, 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 mad,
it's mad, 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 mad world, which is fantastic.
Yes, I'm referring to the one with Mr. Bean.
Right. Yeah, I get that,
but the original though
is fantastic. Yeah.
It is, and
it does have an all-star cast.
So Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. I've seen both of those movies.
Put a candle back.
I just wanted to mention this idea of renting videotapes. So in my childhood, we didn't have a VCR, but where my mom worked, her company had a VCR, so she would take it home from time to time on the weekends.
Corporate net feelings.
So no, I mean, like, I think she checked it out or something like that. There was something that she could check it out. And so it was such an amazing thing, though, when we had the VCR at home, because, you know, this idea of watching things again and again, we would go to the video store. I remember they rented Robin Hood for me, the Disney movie.
Oh, Men in Tights?
And no.
That's where my mind went.
In the 80s. Men in Tights came out.
Men in Tights. Kevin Costner video?
No, Robin Hood, the Disney movie.
Oh, with like the fox and shit?
Yeah. And the hot fox? Yeah.
What did the fox say?
Marion, the Maid Marion.
Maid Marion!
No, I'm just saying, like, I remember watching that movie, like, multiple times because I was like, oh, we rented this, and this is the only time I can, you know, it was kind of like you didn't care what it was. You're like, okay.
I do love that. As soon as you said Hot Fox, my mind immediately went to Wayne's World with, like, you know when Bugs Bunny would put on a bra and be a girl bunny?
I am not the only one that thinks
Wayne was hot. So. Well, I think I told the story before. My first VCR cost me $1,000.
Damn.
$1,000. It was a JVC, and I did it to establish credit, and I paid $50 a month for it, and it had a wire remote. It had literally...
Did it have a top loader, or is it a front loader?
It was a top loader.
Yeah, push
and it. It lasted for... Because Jay had it up until... Yeah. It was over 20 years, that damn thing. And finally a part broke, and we probably couldn't get the part for it because it was so old. But literally 20 – but I – because I had – in high school, I took a class, a TV production class, and the teacher didn't like me for whatever reason. But anyway, so I get off topic. But that's why I decided to get a VCR, and I record it every time HBO movies would come on. I would record it. But I wouldn't just record the movie. I would record the opening credits and the subtitles. So I would – and I had tons – I had the Star Wars movies. I had just every kind of movie.
All the Dallas movies. All
Stripes.
Have you
seen Stripes, Chris?
With Bill Murray.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have not seen the entirety of it.
Okay, Francis. The sequel, Stars.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I started having these flashbacks of the movie place, and I remember renting this movie probably a dozen times for, like, you know, you pay $3.60 to rent this movie. And I'm looking at it and I have no recollection of it.
Which one?
But I know that I've watched this movie probably a dozen times, and I'm going to read the acronym. I'm going to read out the acronym for the movie, and it's Data Analyzing Robot Youth Life Form. Also known as Daryl.
Oh,
remember the movie Daryl from the 80s? He was the kid who was actually a robot. That's all I can remember because I'm reading the description of the movie right now. But this is a perfect example. Like, I've rented this movie 1,000 times because I remember the cover of it was this kid looking at a computer screen watching the Jetsons. And I was a huge Jetsons fan.
George Jetson. Well, at least you've seen the Jetsons. Holy shit.
And, I remember renting this movie, and I probably watched it and just never actually just watched the whole thing.
Do you think Judy was hot?
Dude, what the fuck is with you guys talking about hot cartoons?
It's him.
Let's give this answer. Was she hot or not? Dr. Judy.
There's always at least one hot cartoon, because, like, Betty is clearly hotter than Wilma.
It almost goes back to Humphrey Bogart. You got Barney. What did he have that made Betty want Barney?
I can send you. I can send you a picture.
Stegosaurus, Jack.
It's a T-Rex.
All right, everyone. We will pick our hot cartoon picks.
I'm gonna finish off with one more movie from the 80s. Yes. Okay. Ready? This will be the climax of this conversation.
There we go. Can we keep this going?
I'll tell you that the movie that I probably watched again is another one of these movies I watched 1,000 times as a kid, and I still to this day absolutely love it. And when Disney Plus, we talked about this before, when Disney Plus launched, and it's funny because I haven't watched it since Disney Plus launched, but The Flight of the Navigator is one of my favorite movies growing up. And it's actually what got me interested in the Beach Boys as a kid.
Yeah.
And which then led to me going to my first concert with my family, which was the Beach Boys.
It's funny how like that stuff happens to kids. Like, you know, because that was the right time for you and I and Matt's age to get into the Beach Boys. And like, you know, but it's kind of almost told as like a, because you know, when you're new, at that point, Jack, you already knew who the Beach Boys was. We didn't know who the Beach Boys were. But, you know, because he's talking to Sarah Jessica Parker, you know, and she's like, oh, I saw Twisted Sister, you know, and he's like, oh, I never heard of her, you know, yeah. And then he's like, well, I'm going to go see the Beach Boys. And she's like, oh, okay.
I grew up, my dad loved the Beach Boys. And so he played Beach Boys cassettes all the time when he was farming. Saw them at the Ohio State Fair one time
if you played the Beach Boy, would the sheep come in without having to get the dog to?
We didn't have fucking sheep for but one goddamn like small period of time.
But you had them for a small period of time. Did you play which Beach Boy song brought the sheep in?
I get around.
High five.
And at that point, we're just going to take our second commercial break because that's what we do. In a second. Thanks a lot for that.
Sure.
No problem. Speaking of Little Deuce Coop, we have a versus, and I feel like we could put it off. I feel like I gotta
look this up. Go ahead.
What do you got to look up?
Comics, bad movies.
Do you mean bad movies?
They get around.
Kayla says Beach Boys and Phil Collins. I grew up with yes, Phil Collins. My dad also liked Phil Collins. Like when he got the CD, you know, system, the stereo system. I mean, it was Phil Collins. So
we had a hi-fi
in our house. That's what it
hi-fi,
was.
Hi-fi, yeah, it was a big deal.
Don't touch the equalizer.
But you said like about things being of quality, Jack. You know, the VCR lasted forever. Like my amp and turntable is the one my dad bought in 1970. I still use it. Still great condition. Still sounds great.
It's amazing how my era, we built things that we didn't have to fill up the landfill.
Well, there's so much less shit being used in these instruments than comparatively speaking to now.
I forget what comedian it was, but years ago, someone goes, "I'm not buying anything state of the art until they stop improving on it." Yeah. 6 months later, how many times you bought something and 6 months later it's like, "Oh, you don't have this?" It does. I go, "Well, you know, I still have my 8-track
player." Oh, thanks, Apple.
I remember because I bought one of the very first PlayStation 2s, and back then they were still just a regular CD where the game was on. And then about halfway, somewhere around 2004 or 5, is when they actually started putting them on Blu-ray discs, the games. The original PlayStation 2 could not play those discs.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you had an early one, then you were fucked. You had to wait till the PS3 came out like 2 or 3 years later to even play those games for PS2 that were on the Blu-ray discs. It was like, what the hell?
I know I've told this story too. My mom, when I first got my car, I wanted to put a tape deck in there. Oh. Tape, look it up. Kids playing at home, look it up. But I had tons of 8-track tape players. And this is when tapes became, the CD. And my mom goes, why would you do that when you have all those 8-track tapes? I go, well, look how big they are. It's a Datsun 210, which is a Nissan now, but it's just like, These things were like a book. It was like this was like your 8-track tape, and you couldn't fast forward to the next song.
Yeah, I have a briefcase back home full of 8-tracks. I mean, it's, you know, it's probably got like 20 cassettes in there. But it's not the space.
I got an 8-track player, actually.
Really?
To me, it wasn't the space. It was the fact that, you know, if you had like some that, you know, like you had one good track on one of the four, you had to listen to all those other three shitty songs in order to get back to the one you liked. You know, it's just like,
yeah. I know when Global Cash Card was building the Dharma van, the hardest thing for them to do was find a track tape player that worked to put it in the Dharma van. Okay. But you mentioned a case. I had like a case of like 100 tapes, and I was working at Palm Desert at the time, and Dorothy Hamill wanted to have some different music. And then Dorothy Hamill's talking to me, so I was all excited. So I ran out in Palm Desert, which is like 115 degrees, and I grabbed a couple tapes, but I left the tapes, the box sitting on top of the front seat. I come out, it's a bubble.
Yeah.
Literally, it's a bubble. I was able to salvage like 7 of the 100 tapes in there. So it's like, anyway. One was Van Halen, because I've told the story before. Eddie Van Halen was at the rink, and he denied it was him, so I went and put on Van Halen.
I'm sure he loved that.
Well, he laughed. He thought it was funny, because he was with Valerie Bertinelli at the time. I go, yeah, it's you. I'm not going to tell anybody, but I know it's you. That's your wife, Valerie Bertinelli. I know who she is.
What album was it, by the way? I'm just curious.
It was the first one.
Oh, okay.
The other ones did not survive. All my whole Beatles collection was gone. The tapes were like twisted like this. Some of them I couldn't get. It was like Fringe.
Yes. Yeah.
That stuff. You could chip away and get some of the tapes out. But it was like I don't know. What did tapes cost back then? Like 10 bucks a tape? 12 bucks a tape? It was an expensive.
About right, yeah.
Dorothy Hamill supposed to be money.
And that's why when we look at today, 8-track versus cassettes.
No one would take 8-track.
That was my subtle.
I got it.
The versus.
No one would pick that, would they?
No one would.
They wouldn't.
What would they pick though if they were like, I like Tom Hanks, but some of his movies are kind of shitty.
Man, he's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah. He's been in a ton of movies. So if anybody doesn't
he was in Das Boots?
No.
If anybody doesn't know, by Jack's handle on our live stream here, Mr. Tom Hanks, that was what Nick had suggested as far as a versus this week, was doing worst Tom Hanks movie.
I can't believe you didn't pick this one.
I think we talked about this or floated this idea at some point, right, Nick?
We did, yeah.
Last week, I think it was.
We talked about it. Might have been in the bonus episode with Jay then.
Oh, I was just so wasted.
Chris left us.
Yeah, Chris, out that you left, and then all of a sudden Jay just popped in. We're like, out of nowhere. And then
it was the perfect bonus.
Fast asleep.
This show's never going to end with Jay here.
So, worst Tom Hanks movies. I mean, he's done a lot of great ones. You know, I mean, we could obviously like list those off. And I think we've actually done a versus as far as like.
Can we be honest? When he started doing serious movies, we're like going, Philadelphia, and Chuckle was, and you're like going, the hell's he doing?
Well, it's kind of.
Oh my God, he can act.
I think it's kind of the death of a lot of actors. It's you know, like you'll do anything when you're young. And then once you get famous or win an Oscar, then you think, I have to only do a certain kind of film now because I'm an actor. And then that's it. Like, you don't really do things to people. You know, you're not going to make Turner and Hooch anymore, you know, or something.
Or
Bachelor Party, yeah. Which he would have been a little bit old. It would have been like old Bachelor Party at that point. But.
Well, he could have been the dad that, you know, was cool. The cool dad that showed up at the Bachelor Party.
But you look at a lot of comedians, though, you know, like as they get older, like Adam Sandler or something, you know, it's just like you lose that touch. You lose that drive to just be outrageous.
Well, you look at, what's his name? Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He completely changed his style, which everyone fell in love with, and he started making these popcorn PG movies, and you're like going, mm-hmm. I these aren't funny. Sorry, Eddie. No. I mean, Daddy Daycare was funny for one scene where he walks in and there's shit all over the place.
I like Daddy Daycare. Yeah, that's a good one. He also, that one he did
with Steve Martin.
Steve Martin with the braces, you know.
Yeah,
with
that was a funny one. It's underrated. Yeah,
that was a
Bowfinger.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's a good one.
I knew it was something related to Bo Derek.
Because he, I mean, when he first came out on the scene, he was amazing. I know Chris didn't see 48 Hours in Trading Places.
Beverly Hills Cop.
You never seen Trading Places?
I saw 48 Hours.
But you haven't seen Trading Places?
Man, you see Trading Places and Coming to America and like.
Because Coming to America, that sequel is coming out here eventually. With Avatar,
And Trading Places is a great Christmas movie that's not a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it's fantastic.
And you need to watch it before it gets removed. So because there is a Dan Aykroyd blackface scene towards the end.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So
when he's on the train.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, couldn't they just CGI his face?
Cameroon.
But on the flip side, though, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Freeze frame.
And we'll leave it at that.
She said, I guess she said they had a thing and they said it was the most they were able to do the stat. It was most freeze frame.
Really?
At the time it was most freeze frame because
I would have thought fast. How would they track that
back in the day? I mean, now sure. Yeah, you can track
Jamie Lee Curtis said it. I'm not going to call her a liar.
There's like broken VHS tapes everywhere. They're just paused on that section. And they're like,
why do you hate Jamie Lee Curtis?
I'm the one that brought it up.
I remember when True Lies came out, which was, you know, 10 years later.
Her
doing that striptease. I mean, my dad and me in the movie theater, my dad go like, holy shit.
which had no reason to be in the movie.
And
I wasn't complaining.
Well, I didn't complain, but I'm like, there was no reason to have that in there, but that's okay.
That's another good movie that people forget about.
Well, it has Tom Arnold in it.
But that Tom Arnold is one of the things that makes it good, though, even though it's the only thing that him and that 9 months, that's the only two Tom Arnold movies that are worth watching. Even though he's not the main character, he's the funny sidekick, you know.
Yeah.
He never was a leading man, though, I don't think, in anything, though.
But. No.
All right. So
you were quiet.
Me? Oh, I was trying to respond.
I thought Matt was getting.
Or Chris is over looking at movies or something.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to respond to Sherry. She was mentioning that Adam Sandler makes the same type of movies 90% of the time. Not a fan anymore.
Right.
I would agree with you. I did like his the one that he did with Jennifer Aniston. That was kind of a murder mystery kind of. That was fun. I watched that, and you know, it was on Netflix. It was a straight to Netflix movie.
Oh,
he's done a lot of those.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, it's
he did Big. He did Big Daddy. He did.
Big Daddy's good.
It, yeah. It came out about a year ago.
Water Boy.
So. Yeah, I mean that's all '90s stuff. Big Daddy though was 2000, but like yeah, like roughly right after 50 First Dates that period. Like kind of go.
Right.
You know.
Then there's Uncut Gems, which I have not seen yet.
I've heard it's bad.
Oh, you've heard that it's bad.
That's one where he plays a serious guy, right?
Well, he's a jeweler who's got a gambling problem or something, and yeah.
Sherry says, "I love Tom Arnold in True Lies."
Yeah, see, Sherry's got my back.
When Tom Arnold does that striptease,
Tom Arnold does a striptease.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Tom Arnold. Not,
well, yeah, I mean, like it's little things like Bill Paxton's character. You know, it's like because he's trying to be a spy, you know, and he pisses his pants. Little spy pisses his pants. Look, I got a little dick.
Is that an actor that we don't realize that we miss?
Bill Paxton was a awesome.
I love Bill Paxton.
Yeah. Bill Paxton. He was in Weird Science.
Weird Science.
Oh, he was. Chet.
Oh my gosh.
That's that. Kelly LeBrock, who you?
I still
say this. Don't hate me because she used to do this commercial. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
And
to this day, I still quote that line.
I know, and I've heard you say it.
Still, people that don't understand what the fuck you're saying.
Yeah, that's another one of those '80s films that somebody had on a VHS tape.
Oh yeah,
I probably watched a thousand times.
Oh yeah.
And
I remember the scene where they're sitting in front of the shitty vector graphics on their computer, and they're creating the boob size of their creation.
So they were wearing bras on their head, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the other kid? Because what's his name? Obviously, went on to have a pretty good career.
Oh right.
But yeah, Anthony Michael Hall. But what happened to the other guy? He just couldn't get over.
He founded Microsoft.
So. Is it like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Silicon Valley.
Great. You've got Keanu Reeves. He was in Silicon Valley.
No, the movie.
Silicon Valley. Yeah, he was. But no, in the TV show, he played Bill Gates. Made-for-TV movie. Where
that's what I'm thinking of with Noah Wiley and it was Noah Wiley played Steve Jobs.
Yeah, and then Anthony Michael Hall played Bill Gates.
Was Bill Gates. That's what I'm thinking of.
Because I love the scene where they go to 3M and they have the mouse. 3M had the mouse, and they like, and the younger people are like, why are you just getting the older people like, we don't need this. What's a fucking mouse? We don't need this goddamn thing. Because they basically stole. It was one of the thieves of,
Pirates of Silicon Valley. That's in the movie.
I remember that movie when it came out. That was good.
Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah. Same premise. Yeah. Right through. But one thing that's not the same, all Tom Hanks movies.
Bless your heart, Matt. You just keep trying and trying.
Rob Lowe is on Kimmel tonight.
There I will die on this mountain.
All right.
Yeah, good for him. But you know who's not? Tom fucking Hanks.
Why don't we get one of those guys on the show?
You're friends with them all.
Sure. I'm going to put you on
Tom Cruise. So, I wish Tom Cruise a happy birthday and didn't get anything back.
Why don't you get DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio? I could probably do that.
Yeah, I mean, you did make out with him.
Sorry, Chris. I will change my background.
All right. Look at young DiCaprio there. You would make out with him?
Not with that hair.
What is he? Okay, what's he thinking here with this woman he's got right now? Is he drunk?
Obviously. What's more creepy? What's more creepy about these pictures of Jack? The fact that he has hair, or
I told my wife. I said, "Look, you said I'm an ugly female, but it's because it's the red hair."
Yeah,
you gave me some blonde hair, like some Farrah Fawcett hair. Mm-hmm. I think I'd look pretty because
and a thin shirt.
Yeah. Okay, I got
closing his eyes, and he's really sad. Well, no, give me the Farrah Fawcett. I had the Farrah Fawcett T-shirt.
I'm moving it back to one of my space images here. So there you go, Chris. You're welcome back. Welcome back to the conversation. And on that note,
the sad thing is, Chris is going to have a dream about that.
He is. Oh, video.
And he's going to wake. He's going to be moaning or something like that. His wife's going, "What are you dreaming about? Oh my God,
Jack! I'm dreaming about Jack."
I know I really want to talk about Tom Hanks, but just a short little segue here, guys. I wanted to tell you guys about this last week, but I don't know, it's a little personal, but... Oh, wait, I probably shouldn't tell you. You guys are just going to make fun of me, so...
We will not make fun of you.
Are you promise?
No.
We've been making fun of Chris all night.
Oh, okay, yeah. Fine. Oh, it's Chris's turn. That's right. So last week... In the middle of the night, I'm sharing this as a way to kind of say like, hey, we've all been here, or maybe we haven't. But in the middle of my sleep, apparently, I said something, and my wife told me the very next day. She said, "Hey, last night you were kind of moaning and like kind of moving."
I haven't even made a video yet.
This was in the middle of my sleep, okay? And she said, You were kind of having a something was going on in your sleep, and you kept moaning for Gretchen. Who's Gretchen? And I was like, I don't know a Gretchen. So,
what's the name of your model?
I know no Gretchens. I know no Gretchens. And so it was kind of a little bit of a conversation there with my wife. I was like, look,
I'm going to go ahead and limit here and say that if Rose had Jack's face, her name would be definitely total Gretchen.
Exactly. Well,
what are you trying to say?
Good luck sleeping tonight. And God help you if you're married and you moan in your sleep and mention some other woman's name.
Oh, Chris, Chris has got a good one in the chat.
Oh,
He's counting.
we got a winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, who?
Hey, there? Matt. For the record, we did not make fun of you.
I realize that.
The chat did.
The chat did.
Thank you,
Chris.
I did have something to say because we've been this week, Chris Doran, I should say.
Yeah, go ahead.
My birthday week. We've had all our. I mean, today we had four grandkids today. I mean, four. I mean, it's just like, oh my God! And we've had Zach all week. And we had his brother came today, Alex, who I call Spicoli because he has this long flowing hair. I mean, he really has nice hair. I mean, I sit there and look at it all the time going, dick. I go, I used to have hair like that. And he looked at me like, because today I said, hey, do you like Papa's hair? And he goes, he looked at me like, are you drunk? But anyway, so I just got to say this, that being a parent today, it's a young man's game. I mean, a young person's game, because I can't do it. I mean, I don't know how you do it. You're in an advanced age there, Chris, and you have two young kids. I don't know how you do it, because I'm literally worn out, and it's only Wednesday. I don't know how older people do.
This is Jack's feed, by the way.
How to steal a baby? There's really a thing for that.
I'll tell you, today is my day off. Today is one of my days off this week, and I mean, my wife is home too. We're both home, and we're both here with both kids, and it is exhausting.
Cindy goes, why do we do this? I go, it's your idea. I go, I'm so worn out with a kid, and then tomorrow she wants to go to the pool. I keep calling it the COVID pool.
Hey, you know who's worn the fuck out? It's this guy, Chris, okay? He needs to finish this show.
So anyway, I was just like, oh, this is just. But the other day we had our daughter, my granddaughter's birthday, was she was turned two, and we got her this like little vanity set that has the comb and stuff like a hair dryer. Well, Alex, who's Jane Colleen's youngest, he has the great hair. He was sitting in front of that, combing his hair and doing all this stuff. His mom came over to bug him, Colleen. He goes, Mom, get out of my office.
Jeez. What is he, like the Fonz? He's like in the bathroom, like, hey.
He just said, Chris, Fonz was a show on Happy Days.
You know who else was on Happy
Fonz
Days?
Fonz was not the show on Happy Days. Fonz is one of the main characters of Happy Days, and yeah. I know exactly.
Well, he wasn't. He wasn't at first.
But you know who also was on Happy Days?
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, he was.
Robin Williams was on Happy Days.
He was. Yeah, that's how Mork got his start. He was on Happy Days.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's get this party started.
What about the Malachi brothers?
So that we can let the other people go here. So I've got the dice pulled up here. We're going to go ahead and...
I thought someone else was going to do the dice.
What? What do you mean? If somebody else wants to do the dice, they can. But this is the dice roller that I pulled up. It's random.org, and it uses
random.icheat.org.
No, this is okay. Who wants to go first? I will roll for you. Tell me when to click.
Oh, how convenient!
Go ahead. I'll go first.
Okay, here Chris is going first, and you got eight.
Chris got eight.
All right, we're doing double dice tonight. All right, double who's dice. Next? I'll go next. Okay, so and. I got seven.
Matt got seven. Right. I'll go third.
Okay. You got five.
That was Nick's turn.
Yeah. Well, we already know you're going to pick Joe versus the Volcanoes. Exactly. Or whatever.
No, you don't know that.
And Nick got seven. So Nick and I are in a dice off. A dice.
Nick, you're third place.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and roll again here for me. I got eight this time, and Nick gets. Nick gets two.
Did I tell you, Nick? Did I tell you?
Nick's going third.
I told you, Nick. I told you.
It's always rigged.
I'm not. You do the dice next time. Feel free.
You look good at cheating.
I had it pulled up ready to go.
I don't know who Gretchen is. I don't know who Gretchen is.
Okay? Yeah. She's not a fucking sheep.
Gretchen.
All right, Chris. Gretchen's you are first. You are the one that needs to get to bed in about T-minus 13 minutes. So tell us, what is the worst Tom Hanks movie in your opinion? Like you would just never watch this movie again if you had
a chance. So the worst Tom Hanks movie that I've seen, there are a number that I haven't.
Yeah.
The worst one that I've seen is definitely Beyond the Shadow of a Doubt, because I tried to watch this movie no short of a dozen times.
I feel like it's going to be.
And turned it off every single time because I just couldn't fucking sit down and wrap my head around the movie. It was Cloud Atlas.
That's your own pick, yeah.
Cloud Atlas was such a fucking mess of a movie. Yeah. It was so terrible. I've only seen like 35 to 40 minutes of it every time I've watched it, because I have just so much fucking better things to do than to watch that drivel. There's a number of his movies that aren't amazing, but this one is the one that steps off of the page for me as like the most painful Tom Hanks movie to watch. Clearly, because I haven't watched the entirety of it, because I just can't give a fuck enough to do it. Cloud Atlas.
Wow. Can't argue with you.
Who's Matt next? I forgot.
Matt's on mute, I think.
Fucking
oh, dude. I'm sorry. I was on mute because I was typing Cloud fucking Atlas. Yes, I agree with you. That was definitely on my list.
Whoa. You're not supposed to help him.
Oh, I mean, how are we going to shit on other people's? Okay, whatever. So, I am going to, you know, I'd like to pick Angels and Demons, but I've never seen that movie because, fuck it, I don't give a shit at this point. So I won't pick that movie because I've never seen it, and I don't think it's fair to shit on a movie I've never seen. So I'm going to go with the other movie that I wanted to like. I wanted to like this movie so much. It had a great cast. Had the directors that I wanted. And had the directors that I wanted, but I never connected with it, and that's Lady Killers. The Lady Killers, Coen Brothers movie, great cat. The Wayans brothers are in it. It's like everything about that movie, hated it, and I don't
hated it.
Never want to see it a movie again.
Coen Brothers for you, Wachowskis for me. Like it's two groups of directors that should have been made amazing movies. But fucked it up.
Yep.
They really fucked the sheep on this one.
Exactly. That is. Thanks for twisting the knife in deeper.
Gretchen.
And on that note, Nick, I will go ahead and pass it to Nick, who won't make a sheep fucking joke.
There's gotta be a Tom Hanks movie with a sheep in it. I'm with you, Matt. That I think that the whole Da Vinci Code trilogy is kind of shit. It's not gonna be my pick, but I agree with you because like I think it was miscast and it was misdirected. I think Ron Howard's a capable director, but I just don't think he did anything near what those books are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm going to pick, which I mentioned either on air or off air last time when we talked about this, I'm going to pick Larry Crown, which was a 2011 movie with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts. And it's just one of these weird movies that he's kind of like a fish out of water kind of story, or just a weird guy. And then like she's a very straight laced and like they're kind of helping each other live their lives. But it just doesn't work at all because it's just it feels like two middle-aged weird people that it just there was no chemistry at all in this movie, and it's something that's just really painful to watch, and I just never thought it was funny at all. And then the thing is that they're also trying to be hip by befriending younger people, and they're in a fucking scooter club, and so it just packs on the lame on top of the lame, and it's just like I don't know if maybe people have maybe seen this movie, but it's so bad. It's that bad.
I have never seen that.
You're not missing anything.
And I do like the first one, the original one from, was it the 70s?
Well, maybe that's why. Okay, I didn't know it was a remake.
It is a remake, yeah. The Thomas Crown Affair is a remake, and the original was...
I didn't say Thomas Crown.
Not Thomas Crown, Larry Crown.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thomas Crown Affair was Pierce Brosnan.
That's an awesome movie.
Okay.
I forever changed the way I eat steak after watching that movie and how fucking sexy... Pierce Brosnan makes slicing and chewing a steak look.
Also a remake though. Thomas Crown was a remake.
Yeah.
Even the Pierce Brosnan version. Sorry, I'm sorry. I just thought they were all related.
No. It's bad. There's actually a few in here that I've looking at Tommy. I was like, I've never even heard of that movie. You know? Like Bonfires of Vanity, I know is really a bad movie, or Dragnet, you know, and you're like,
well, hold on. Yeah, okay.
Bad movie. Okay. It is your turn, Mr. Tom Hanks.
Joe versus the Volcano. I mean, I left that movie at the drive-in with my kids and wife. I said, because I couldn't wait to see it. Because he had a pretty good stretch there of funny movies. And it's like, you know, it's Tom Hanks. He's from Bosom Buddies. He was in Family Ties. He's funny. Bachelor Party. Movie sucked.
It's got some moments that are really good, though.
No, it has no moments. Movie sucks. And it's like, sure, watch it, didn't like it. I mean, I know.
I like it. Like, there's a scene in it where, you know, when he gets the credit cards from Lloyd Bridges.
Lloyd Wright.
Yeah, Lloyd Wright, yeah. So, and, you know, and he goes to get those trunks, the trunks that save his life, you know, and he's like, if I was going on an ocean voyage, this would be the luggage I would take. He's like, I'll take four of them. The guy's like, may you live to be 1,000 years old. Yeah, like just the way he delivers that line, because obviously they were fucking expensive as shit. You know, it's a good movie. It's got its moments that are good.
Just hearing you repeat that line goes, I can't believe I didn't like that one.
And it's probably the best acting Meg Ryan ever did, because she plays three characters in that movie.
No, she was best. She was best in Top Gun.
Right.
So I mean, maybe if we didn't have Joe versus the Volcano, wait. Maybe I'll just save this for. Are we going to do a retaliation, and actually shit on each other's picture? How do we?
Randy says Joe versus the Volcano is the best of the four.
Yeah, I mean, and Chris makes a good point. So when we're shitting on each other's movies, are we actually saying how good of a movie
it was? Again, I made this pick knowing I wasn't going to win.
It is kind of like a reverse that we need to actually compliment what we like about these
people. I don't know if I can do that. I will just say that
the only thing I can do is say that I actually thought that Joe versus the Volcano was fun. Like
it's an adventure movie. Yeah.
After all these picks.
Well, let me see. The guy that's seen nothing thought Joe versus the Volcano was fun. Yeah.
They like orange soda.
Like, I mean, that's all I got. I mean, was it a great movie? No, but no, it was a fun dark comedy. It was
a dark. It was like, oh my god, please stop! Just
he plays ukulele in it.
Stop the stop the movie.
Okay, things.
That's right. She's in it.
There's a symbol that is repeated in Joe versus the Volcano. True, yeah, that I really like as a first time watcher. When I saw it, I was like, "Oh, that's so cool! It's repeating through the whole thing."
Yeah.
And I will just say this about Joe versus the Volcano: if we didn't have this Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan matchup, would we ever get Sleepless in Seattle?
You got mail. No,
you've got mail. Yeah, I mean, right.
So you have a great movie. Sleepless in Seattle.
You've got mail, which is a remake.
If I had to choose between the three of those, which one I'm watching, I'm picking Joe versus Volcano.
Yeah, there's no question about that. This has turned into the versus in which we all gang up on Jack's pick. Because I think that it's clear that of the four movies, that's the least shitty one. And it's actually quite enjoyable at times.
The weird thing is no one knows the fucking director for Joe versus the Volcano.
No idea.
But like the three of us actually decent like directors.
You know, whatever. You know why? Because he took his name off the credits. it was Steven Spielberg.
Yeah, yeah, it was Spielberg. Yeah, I could see that. I could honestly feel that.
He was inspired to make that from ADT.
Look, I said from the beginning this was a personal pick.
That's the way it always should be in Versus.
I was a Tom Hanks fan before most of you were born. So that there you go.
Wait, how is
I
that?
I don't think that's true.
Like, I don't think his career starts until before I was born.
Well, let's look. IMDb.
When did Bosom Buddies come out?
I remember Bosom Buddies
too.
The first thing
on IMDb that he is known for is this movie right here, 1980. So boom, born.
Mm. Okay, you were just born.
That's not what you said.
That's
Jack.
Not what you said before.
I was a fan of Tom Hanks before all of
Bosom Buddies came out in 1980.
Born.
Bosom Buddies.
Born.
How many of you seen Bosom Buddies?
Born. I lived on that shit. I was like, maybe I could dress up like a woman one day.
This is like you going against the percentage of cases versus the cases percentage of the United States. Like you have a flawed argument.
I'm just saying.
You're like the one sheriff that's just like, no, I'm banning masks.
What I'm saying is, I was a huge Tom Hanks fan before it was popular to be a Tom.
Nope,
Hanks
that's fan. Not what you said. If we're gonna get nitpicky like you do with your jokes, Jack, what you said was, I was a Tom Hanks fan before all of you were born.
Exactly.
That's what us old people say.
Sure. Okay.
Try to make a case. Okay.
Game flip flopping.
Okay, Miami Mike for the win. The Joe versus the Monkey. Academy Award for Moonstruck.
Put your mask on, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he didn't win one for Joe versus the Volcano.
Well, so what? Neither did the Wachowskis or the Coen brothers or Ron Howard. So
we still don't know the guy's name.
All right. So I do have an honorable mention. I know I need to go, but I have a quick honorable mention for movies that people loved by Tom Hanks that I fucking hated. And I'll tell you, there's this one movie, and I really did not like the movie for almost the entirety of the movie until the last 2 to 3 minutes, and Rush. That was the movie that was the biopic for Captain Phillips.
Oh, I never watched it. Yeah.
But the Maersk liner that got taken over by pirates.
That's one of those things that
I'm the captain now. I say
yes, that movie. So I the entire movie, I'm just like, oh, this is so like, I don't know. It's procedural. I can't say procedural because that's based on true events. Didn't know about like I just did not like that movie at all. And then the last 2 minutes of that movie were some of the most amazing acting I've ever seen on film, and it was done by Tom Hanks.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the chat.
I agree with you, Chris. Like, he did two of those films. Like, you have that one, the Captain Sully.
Sully, and then Captain Phillips. Yeah,
Captain Phillips. Yeah, like, both of those were like probably like, hey, like this could be a story, but we've only got 20 minutes of plot, and then the rest of it's just filler. And you're like, did you really need to make this? The same as like that Clint Eastwood film he directed a year or two ago about the guys that did knock down that terrorist in the subway. It's like that movie should have never been made.
Like, I remember reading about this afterwards because I remember being so spiteful about the movie. Like, man, that was just like, fuck, you know, it wasn't what I expected from Tom Hanks. But I read that if you've seen Captain Phillips?
Yeah.
So the very last scene when he's actually taken onto the ship and goes into like the med bay. And he's in complete shock, right? That entire scene was not scripted. The original draft had like a real shitty, cheesy Hollywood ending, but Tom supposedly, I guess this is, I don't know if this is true or not, but supposedly Tom Hanks went in there and was like, fuck that, I'm doing it my way. And he went in there and
did that. Tom fucking Hanks, he can do whatever he wants.
Like, and he went in there and did that scene all from his heart and just did it. Right, and I'll be honest with you. I remember walking out of the theater being, man, that movie sucked, but that last 2 minutes was the most amazing acting I think I've ever seen on a screen. It was outstanding.
Do you think Tom Hanks is kind of mailing it in at this point?
Yeah.
Kind of like he did the movie. You guys haven't seen the movie Greyhound yet?
No.
Basically, it's just Tom Hanks just mailing it in.
I don't think he's had a hit in probably 20 years. I mean, basically, like, probably Saving Private Ryan was the last thing he did that's, like, really, when you think Tom Hanks films.
I mean, there's some good
ones, but I'm talking about like a full on like, wow, that's a fucking movie. You know,
there goes Tom Hanks being on our show. Thanks, that's great.
But yeah, Tom Hanks.
We could probably get Colin.
I mean, are you discrediting Toy Story 3?
I can't count the voiceover acting shit. Yeah,
well, it's acting.
Are you discrediting Charlie Wilson's War?
Yes.
Are you discrediting Polar Express?
Yes, absolutely. Polar
Are
Express.
You discrediting
Polar Express?
I can't hear you because Jack keeps interrupting every time you say something.
Okay, Catch Me If You Can was probably maybe the best.
Yeah. With my former co-star.
What was the other one when he was like, an FBI agent or a CIA agent?
That was a good one. Yeah.
What was that?
The bridge movie. Yeah.
Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition is the one where he's the mafia guy.
What was that movie?
Bridge of Spies.
That was fucking awesome.
That's a good one. The spy is the one who makes that film. You know, the Russian guy, because there's so many good lines where it's like, you know, do you not worry about this? It's like, would it help? I mean, he just does. It's such a good. Yeah, that's a good.
That movie was fucking. Oh. That was
awesome. That was a good.
We need to address the elephant in the room, which is the sheep. You know.
The fact that
somebody in the comments mentioned Dragnet. Now, I personally liked that movie just because I love Tom Hanks and I love Dan Aykroyd, and it was just funny. If you cannot laugh at the fact that Tom Hanks is wearing women's underwear at the very end, like, I mean, that's a Bosom Buddies callback. And if I'm not a person that wants to wear women's clothes and try to like get into an apartment building, then I'm not. I mean, Dragnet. It's funny, and it's got satanic goat people.
But to be,
I'm a little sauced. Okay.
the problem with Dragnet is when you see Dan Aykroyd, Tom Hanks, you're thinking, okay, this is going to be a spoof of the TV show Dragnet, which I don't know if anyone. I know Chris probably hadn't seen it, but it was more. It was a straight lace, you know, it was like one of those cop shows that was like where they had no personality.
So time out for one quick second. This is like where your Chris hasn't seen an argument fucking sucks, because like when you have people who live 20 years in their childhood after you, Jack, like VHS tapes of Dragnet were not something that were readily accessible. The only time like we would ever watch fucking Dragnet is if we're on like watching TV Land or Nick at Night. Of which, by the way, even when that was on, it was past my bedtime. That just shows you how much older you are than I am.
Somehow.
There you go. That's what you get, Jack.
Somehow, I was born in 62, but yet I've seen shows that were out before I was born. How is that possible? I had no VCR. We had no.
Because when you were born, your television had four channels, and it probably played shit from 1940.
Dragnet's a lame TV show. Let's just be.
You were in the chair like fucking.
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange, yeah.
But no, I don't think there should be an age limit on watching good television. Are good movies. How about
an accessibility element? Like, how was I, as a fucking 10-year-old, supposed to watch Dragnet?
They're beating up on hippies. Yay, I like this.
Because the hippies were bad.
Yeah, it was late 60s. They needed something for the white males to watch. Okay, moving on.
Chris, hey, hold on a second. The hippies were bad.
Chris has got to go to bed. We've got to close this show.
The Wizard of Oz when it was on once every fucking year, The Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz was probably the most popular movie in the 80s. Like, that movie was accessible every fucking where. You could watch it on TV. It was on TV specials more than once a year.
You're missing my point. When I was a kid, it was on once a year. That was it. If you missed it, you missed it. It wasn't.
So what's the point?
The point is, you're saying I didn't have access to these movies. How was I able to watch these movies when they were only on once a year?
Because you sat down once a year and fucking watched it.
And you're talking about Wizard of Oz versus Dragnet. there wasn't a TBS marathon of fucking
Dragnet. There is no Dragnet porn.
Let's try the chat.
I gotta go see the private chat. I haven't been bothered.
So,
who was that? Oh, that was Matt. Okay,
not in Kansas anymore.
I broke, so there's that.
Oh fuck! Oh my gosh! Anyway, we do have to close out the show only because one of us has to leave, and I'm not going to say names, but
Chris, hey, it's fucking me. That's gonna work.
Did we make a case for our?
We did. We made a case that you're the best for.
Absolutely going to lose. Now, I did not sit around and listen to radio. I listened to War of the Worlds.
So technically, is the fourth place of this poll technically the best of the worst?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So if I finish in fourth, I win.
No. You're voting for which of the four is the worst.
Yeah, not the best, so you still lose.
But you just said if Chris said that.
If you finish in fourth,
you're on the same page.
The director of Joe versus the Volcano has been established as an Academy Award winning director.
Who is he?
He won for a Cher movie. He's a woman. So anyway, I was trying to give some credit there. I don't know. I'm trying to finish out this show without offending anyone.
That child rapist that went to France.
What?
What's his name?
Why are you bringing up child?
You know who I'm talking about, right?
I do know who you're talking about, but I really don't want to talk about.
We're all Hollywood. When he won the Academy Award, all Hollywood stood.
Polanski.
Roman Polanski, where he won the Academy Award, and all of Hollywood stood up and gave him a standing ovation. A child rapist. There we go.
Thank you for bringing that up in the show. That is an awesome way to end the show.
I'm just trying to keep it on the topic here.
Chris wanted to finish the show closer to 11. It is now. We're inching closer.
It's 11:09.
He's got an early morning. You know he's got to get up.
I have four fucking grandkids. Oh, only three. I'm sorry, three grandkids.
Okay, but it's like he's got Apple customers, which is like 20.
Whoa. Allegedly. You working on an Apple farm?
Allegedly, he has some customers that are very
busy. And is busy this time of year.
It is ass busy. I mean, because it is like.
Is it sheep ass busy?
It is sheep ass busy. Stop putting words into my mouth. I'm trying to.
You guys are awesome.
Jack.com/Amazon
Buy all of your stuff Jack. You want to buy. I just bought two pickling jars on Amazon.com/JaneJack.
Just two?
Gallon size.
Oh, gallon size. Okay.
Oh, because for your cucumbers?
I have so many fucking cucumbers. It's ridiculous. Coming out the ears. So, yeah, I bought that. I'm going to buy some pickling spices there as well once I find the right ingredients.
Have you ever made pickles before?
Nope.
All right. Well, good luck with your fucking cucumbers.
Well, that's weird.
And turning them into pickles because that's what you do. And thanks for the shout out to
he's three sheep to the wind.
The jandjack.com. If you
episode
that's it. That's it, Nick.
deep breath in, deep breath out.
Fantastic. I ran 2 more minutes of airtime.
Laugh it up, fuzzballs.
Have we not said that yet?
I know.
How is that an RCAD original that launched today? Like that was perfect.
That was the perfect line. I think that's like the best line we've had in like a year.
Yes, I didn't say it.
All right. You know what? Yeah. Fuck you, Chris. Okay. You know?
Chris didn't say it.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Chris. Look at me. Look into my eyes.
Can I give a little clip behind the scenes? When he gets behind me, I'm saying he wasn't acting.
I know you.
I'm just gonna say that right now.
you are the little spoon. All right. Yeah. So just to finish up,
what's going on back there?
We've already like talked about a lot of different things on the show, including the link to the Amazon thing. Whatever. I'm a couple sheeps to the wind, and
three sheeps
to a wind. How many three sheeps? Like, really that many? But, okay. you can help us out by sending us an email at rcadcast@gmail.com. That would be great.
I got one question left.
Really?
Did you ever watch the show Baba Black Sheep?
Well, ironically, I was born while my dad was watching Baba Black Sheep.
Really?
Yeah. Like he was in the waiting room waiting for me.
Robert Conrad, right?
I don't know because I never watched that show. It was before my time. Anyway,
it's on right to Dragnet.
If you enjoy this show, you can help us out by becoming a Patreon member. Donate $1 to.
Does the show have an ending?
I am trying to fucking end it. I will cut you.
I saw what you did to the sheep. I'll be quiet.
All right. Thanks. All right. So, some patrons that do make this show possible, and we appreciate you that make this show possible. I will ignore the other three assholes. Hopefully, you can still hear me talking.
You're noticing the other three assholes, but not the sheep.
Okay. I am joined by three other assholes on the show, or you can call them dicks. I don't care. But the patrons, that's who makes this show possible. And I really appreciate every single one of them. In fact, I did a little bit of Tom Hanksing of my own, which you got a little Tom Hanks theme going on with your patron names as I close out the show. So I would like to thank Tack Me If You Can, That Eckhart Thing You Do, Ed to Perdition, Saving Private Maggie, You've Got Joanne, and the Greg with One Wet Red Shoe. Yeah, I'm going old school with that one, Greg.
Can I say this? I'm going to give you a compliment. That was the best.
who's doing that?
Not me. That's the best you've ever come up with there, Matt. I liked all the names. Good job.
I'm muting Chris because that's what I do. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for everybody that joined us in the chat. I really do appreciate it. Sherry, Randy, Miami Mike, Will Fry, Chris, Doran, Kayla. I know you joined us.
I think she just jumps in and then leaves.
Kim, John, everybody that joined us live, if I'm not remembering your name, Matt Triest, Randy, you guys really do make the live show possible. It's so much fun. We appreciate it. Next week, we will be back, possibly doing a Rob Lowe thing because we teased that, and we'll get the results of this versus. Thanks again for joining us live.
I can't lose.
You can't lose, Jack. And Chris? I will unmute you now because of your black sheep thing, whatever.
Thanks.
Great show, kids. This was one in a sheep. Any other comments?
I think.